On February 4th, 2015, TransAsia Airways Flight GE235, an ATR 72600 aircraft, crashed into the Keelung River shortly after takeoff from Taipei Songshan Airport, resulting in the loss of 43 lives. The investigation revealed a series of contributing factors leading to the disaster and led to improved regulations in the aviation industry. What factors caused the crash of this TransAsia Airways flight? Let's investigate the flight files of flight GE235. Hello everybody, welcome back to the Flight Files. I am your host and aviation enthusiast, Dan, and today we are covering TransAsia Airways flight GE235. Before we get into it, I just want to say that across all social media platforms, you can find us at The Flight Files, and also check out the website, www.theflightfiles.com. We'll be posting blog posts. I haven't posted one yet, but we will be posting blog posts. They will be on there. And links to all the stuff is on the website. You can also listen to the podcast directly on the website if you're not listening to it there, I guess. So, let's jump straight into this accident. So, it happened in February 2015, and it was, as I mentioned in the intro, TransAsia Airways, and it was an ATR 72600 aircraft. I'm not overly familiar with the ATR aircraft. This is the first time I'm encountering it, so doing a bit of research when I was researching this incident, and I found out a couple of interesting things which I didn't know. So the ATR was a joint venture between Airbus and Leonardo SPA, and the 72600 is a twin-engine turboprop aircraft. So the ATR 72 was designed to be a short-haul flight regional airliner. The 72 in its name is in relation to the standard seating capacity of 72 passengers. Every airline customizes their planes and seating arrangements to suit their needs, but 72 is the standard, what the plane comes with as default. So it's a really interesting little tidbit of how they named the plane. And Finnish airline Finnair was the first airline to operate the aircraft in revenue service. And it's also been used in corporate transport, cargo, and maritime patrol, because it's a regional plane. It's, you know, more suited to the short-haul flights, so being used in maritime patrol makes sense. And it was delivered to TransAsia Airways in 2014, so it was only around a year old at the time of the incident. So the flight was a scheduled passenger flight from Taipei Songshan Airport to Kinmen Airport. There were 58 people on board, 3 flight crew members and 5 flight attendants, and 50 passengers. So about 10 to 14 people less than its max capacity. So a bit of history about the airline. It was incorporated on the 25th of May 1951 as Foshan Transport Corp, or Foshan Airlines, and it was the first private civil airline in Taiwan, and it flew the Taipei to Hulan Taitung Kaohsiung route, and I really apologize if I'm pronouncing those incorrectly, and it also served as a local agent for for other airlines, and provided ground handling services for other airlines flying into those destinations. And when they launched their first international route in January of 1992, the English translation of the name changed to TransAsia Airways, but the Chinese name remained the same. And the Airbus A320 also joined the fleet, and it became the airline's first jet aircraft, which is really interesting. So, although the company started its operations focusing mainly on the Taiwanese domestic market, it operated on scheduled international routes as well, but focused mainly on Southeast and Northeast Asia at the time of its closure. And they suspended operations and shut down indefinitely on the 22nd of November 2016 after a pair of hull loss incidents occurred within months. And it had a low-cost subsidiary, VAir, that had already ceased operations a month earlier. So the crew of this flight was, there was three pilots in total. The relief pilot wasn't flying or on the deck at the time of the accident, so we'll be focusing on the captain and the first officer. So the captain was Li Yi Lian, and they had 4,914 flight hours, with 2,835 hours of that being in the ATR 72-600. So more than half of their flight hours were on this specific plane. So very well versed in this specific aircraft. And the first officer was Qian Quan Xing. Again, I might be butchering the name. I really apologize. They had 2,518 flight hours, with 1,325 of those hours also on the ATR 72-600. So again, very well versed on this specific plane. So the plane departed from Taipei Sunshan Airport at 10:51 a.m. local time, and it was scheduled to arrive at Kinmen Airport at 11:22 a.m. local time. So let's run through the details of what happened during the flight. So at 10:51, TransAsia Airways Flight 235 departed from Sunshan Airport in Taipei, Taiwan, and it was bound for Kinmen. Shortly after takeoff, around 3 minutes after, the aircraft experienced an intermittent signal discontinuity between the AFU, or the auto feather unit, for engine number two, and the torch sensor. So this caused the aircraft's automatic takeoff power control system to activate, and it resulted in the uncommanded auto feathering of engine number two's propellers. So about 30 seconds after this happened, the flight crew were failing to identify what was happening. So despite having a lot of experience with the plane, they were struggling to identify what was happening, and they weren't able to respond to the uncommanded auto feathering for the engine number two. And the pilot flying reduced the power on engine number one instead. So all of this happened within around about 4 minutes, 5 minutes after takeoff, and these subsequent steps happened within 30 seconds of the AFU signal discontinuity. So the flight crew fully shut down engine number one because they mistook it for the failed engine. So they knew something was wrong. They knew it was an engine fault, but they didn't properly identify which engine was causing the issue. And at 10:54:44, the aircraft entered a stall and started a descent. So around 13 seconds later, the flight crew attempted to restart engine number one, but the aircraft continued to descend in its stall. And around 3 seconds later, the aircraft impacts the Keelung River, which killed 43 of the 58 people on board the flight. So the whole incident happened within 3 minutes after takeoff, and the intermittent signal discontinuity between the AFU and the torch sensor for engine number two caused the aircraft's automatic takeoff power control system to activate, and that was failed to be identified by the crew in the flight deck. So you would think with so much experience on this particular aircraft, with both of them having more than half of their total flight hours with this aircraft, they would have been able to correctly identify. But when it comes to situations like this and the stress, there's so many different factors that go into this and how you respond to it. So they failed to identify the AFU, and they didn't take appropriate action to correct the situation, and the pilot flying also made the incorrect decision to reduce the power on the working engine, which is engine number one, and that because engine number two was not working, the aircraft's performance became compromised and became even more difficult to control. And then they shut down engine number one because they believed it was the failed engine. And as it shut down, it only had one operative engine that wasn't functioning properly. Obviously led to the stall that caused the aircraft to crash. And all this happening in such a short period of time is really quite terrifying. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who would, in the same situation, just have freak out. I know personally I would as well. Obviously, if something's gone wrong and it's, you know, 3 minutes after takeoff, when you think everything's fine, and you don't even have time to turn around, they would have been better off holding off, most likely, and diagnosing the issue a bit more before taking action, potentially, and keeping both engines operative. But we'll get into what the investigation found and the analysis of the whole situation shortly. So the official investigations was concluded, and they found that the probable cause of the accident was that there was the intermittent signal discontinuity between the AFU number two and the torque sensor, and this caused the automatic takeoff power system, or the ATPCS, to be not armed steadily, during the takeoff roll, and it activated during the initial climb, meaning that there was a complete loss of engine power. So the investigation also identified that there were several contributing factors and other safety factors, including some engine maintenance issues. There was some management processes that they found to be factors at TransAsia Airways, and there was some regulatory oversight of TransAsia by the CAA, or the Civil Aeronautics Administration. So the crash obviously resulted in the loss of 43 lives, including 3 flight crew members, 1 cabin crew member, and 39 of the passengers. The remaining 13 passengers and 1 of the cabin crew members sustained some serious injuries, and 1 passenger received minor injuries. So they made a lot of changes to the regulatory standards because of this incident. So the safety improvements and regulatory changes in response to the accident were implemented, and this included that engine manufacturers had implemented design modifications to address the AFU discontinuity issue, and TransAsia Airways specifically revised its flight operations and management processes, including enhanced pilot training and improved safety oversight. So it was likely that these pilots may not have been trained or fully trained on this particular incident that could happen. So it's good that they enhanced their pilot training, before ultimately shutting down a few years later, or a year later, actually. So there were some broader implications because of this. So the crash highlighted that there was a lot of importance on robust and reliable aircraft systems, and those that are really critical to flight control. The intermittent signal discontinuity between the AFU and torque sensor showcased that there was a lot of need for rigorous maintenance, which you would think you're dealing with planes with passengers on it, there would be anyway. And increased quality control measures to prevent failures like this happening in the future. Also, the investigation revealed that there were a lot of deficiencies in the flight crew training and proficiency, particularly in handling engine malfunctions and emergencies such as this one. So, emphasizing that realistic training programs can equip pilots with the necessary skills to respond to these situations more effectively. There would have been a better chance had they had improved training, but it's a lot of what ifs. We'll never know. The crash also exposed that there was a lot of weaknesses in the regulatory oversight of Transasia Airways by the CAA, and that oversight needed to be more strict, more under the microscope across all of these airlines. The regulatory oversight should be like pinpoint accurate to ensure that this stuff isn't happening. And there'll be flights that we cover in the future where there's stories of the engineers skipping steps and going against the airlines at the manufacturer's official maintenance guidance in order to save time and money. And the airlines allow it because time is money, and the more money they save, the more money they make. So putting profit before people is an unfortunate circumstance of a industry-wide problem. And the crash also raised some concerns about the safety culture within the airline. The investigation found that there was a pattern of non-compliance with standard operating procedures and a lack of effective safety management, which is not good. Like, I will repeat it, that you are dealing with things that fly in the sky and carry as little as one passenger or one person up to like 500. So this should be taken really seriously, and compliance with all of the standard operating procedures should be in place. And also focusing on the human element as well, not overworking your crew, managing the resources well, and having like clear communication between the crew and the airline, and making sure that they're not going into these flights tired, exhausted, overworked, because it leads to decision-making errors that contribute to these incidents happening. So the improvements to safety and regulation changes that happened in response to this crash were, you know, pretty good. Like, we've covered them briefly, like the engine manufacturers modifying the AFU to designed to eliminate the signal discontinuity, and it made it more reliable. Improved flight crew training to focus on these engine malfunctions and how to recognize them, what to do in the emergency, and coordinating with the crew on who's doing what in these emergencies. Then you have the strengthened regulatory oversight of airlines, which included audits, regular inspections, and enforcing actions to ensure that they are compliant with the up-to-date safety standards. making sure that airlines prioritize risk management and employee involvement, approaching these safety concerns and making sure that people are listened to instead of ignored. We are seeing that come out more and more with Boeing. At the moment, I'll always mention this, aviation is the safest form of transport. It is safe, it is fine. Like, Boeing planes fly every single day. You only hear about the bad. You never hear about every plane that lands. But researching, doing your own research is paramount in these things, and just following and keeping up to date. So that you know, you can make more informed decisions on what planes you want to fly on. And the key takeaways are basically improved training. This flight was partial maintenance issues and partial human error. The crew unable to identify what the issue was, and even shutting down the wrong engine, leading to basically not having any power whatsoever, led to the stall and subsequent crash of this flight. And, you know, fortunately, silver lining, I guess, that some people survived. Most with serious injuries and one with minor injuries. That is always a silver lining in such a dark and unfortunate circumstance. But it's just really important to remember that these are people that you're handling, dealing with. You should take the utmost care when it comes to making sure that your flights are as safe as possible and your planes are maintained correctly in line with safety regulations. This was a bit of a shorter episode. There wasn't a whole lot when it came to what happened. Everything happened like pretty quickly, but there will be longer episodes on the horizon. I'm currently doing some research on some flights that are coming up that I want to talk about. If you have any recommendations or any suggestions on flights that you want me to cover, please reach out on social media at The Flight Files on every social media platform. Just reach out, send a message or like DM or send it on publicly, whatever you want to do. Reply to one of the social posts. I post supplemental content such as images from the incidents, maps that may be available, landmarks, all of that stuff, supplemental content across all the social media platforms. So definitely check them out. Let me know if you have any suggestions for flights you want to listen to, or you want me to cover. Also, if you're listening on Spotify, there's like a Q&A feature, so you could ask there as well if you wanted to. But I'll be back every Thursday to bring you some more aviation incidents that will be hopefully longer and more researched. But The Flight Files is available on anywhere you get your podcasts. Thank you all so much for listening. And I hope to see you in the comments. Don't forget to rate the podcast 5 stars. I really appreciate it. Or whatever the rating is on the platform that you listen on. Just give it 4 marks. I really appreciate that. We have we're a 5-star podcast. We have 2 reviews and they're 5 stars. So let's keep it going. Let's get 3 reviews and 5 stars still. But thank you all for listening. Not watching. I'm pretty sure I said watching. Thank you all for listening. I've been your host, Dan. This has been The Flight Files. And we'll be back investigating real soon.